Skull and Everett present This Week in Horror.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Everett.
And I'm Sickle, and we are Sickle and Everett, and we're the Unhallowed Reviewers. Pardon any nasally congestion coming from me. The stalagmites are blooming down here, and there's some sulfuric embers in the air that are really messing with my allergies.
Same here, actually. It's amazing. That's crazy. This is going to be the nasal cast. That's what I'm going to call it.
All right. That sounds good.
So, let's start off strong. So, we're going to kind of just jump into it like we always do. It's going to be a hell of an episode, so keep up.
I get it.
No, it's because we're in hell. Okay, yeah. No pun intended. All right.
It's too late. It already happened.
All right. So, the first thing we're going to talk about is a new movie, a few new movies, and a topic at the center of them, let's say. I guess one of them. I guess it's just one movie, really. Corporate Animals.
Yes, Corporate Animals is a movie that's coming out and is directed by Patrick Bryce,
Patrick Bryce. I don't know who that is.
He directed Creep and Creep 2.
Oh, cool.
The found footage films.
He's that really tall guy.
Sure.
No,
he's probably tall. I have no idea. It stars Demi Moore and Jessica Williams, who I don't know who that is, and Ed Helms, who most of us know, and a couple of other people I don't know. And the story is about a CEO that takes her, a handful of her staff out on a retreat to these caves in New Mexico, and they end up getting stuck in the caves and resort to cannibalism. Is what it sounds like happens. But that made it sound like it's not funny at all, but it's definitely going to be a horror comedy. If you've seen Creep, you probably can get an idea of what the tone will probably be like. But something that it made me think of when I first saw this was like, okay, well, Creep and Creep 2 are both found footage films. And I feel like, I've heard this from people that are in the, you know, have been in the industry either at an amateur level or an academic level. Not a professional level, because I don't know any famous, you know, directors or anything, but, you know, like, people that aspire to be, and that the found footage genre, for, you know, not in any insult to the directors, is an easier genre to shoot. It's one shot. You have generally sets that are within your control. It's a lot easier to apply effects work to it. In fact, the only difficulty in found footage is making cuts where you need to make it look seamless when you're trying to have a seamless shot.
And
a lot of them, if you'll go back and watch, especially the lower budget horror found footage films, they just have the camera break. You know, they just put a little fuzz effect on there, and there's your cut. So, it's just generally considered an easier medium. And so I thought, well, have there been any directors that have had successful films that are more cinematic and multi-camera in structure, more traditional cinema, where they've had successful ones after they've had their found footage films, where they started in found footage and went to cinema. So there were a couple of, I was expecting, you know, you have an hypothesis going in, right? My hypothesis
like how many people make successful movies after found footage is their genesis, right?
Yeah. And my hypothesis was that it was going to be a very low number of success stories.
I feel like it's high. Before we even talk about it, I feel like it's kind of would be higher, because I could always think about, for the last few movies I've had to go look up, I'm like, usually one of the movies that they've done is, oh, maybe it's just a short, actually, not a found footage film. Never mind. I'm thinking of shorts, not found footage films. I'll back off. I'm backing off.
When I was going into it, I was expecting it to be low, the amount of success. I do want to say that there are a couple that I excluded. For example, there were a handful where they didn't start in found footage. Adam Green is the guy
Hatchet
that did
Digging
Hatchet
Up the Marrow.
And Digging Up the Marrow. And then there's M. Night Shyamalan, who did The Visit way late,
That wasn't, so, I guess that was kind of found footage.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
That's found footage. For, I mean, like, it's 90%
found
footage.
It was more of a active footage.
Well, the kids are like, recording
it. It was all happening.
I mean, because you could still consider Paranormal Activity found footage. True. It doesn't have to be first person.
No, but, like, isn't there parts of The Visit where they're not recording? Like, there's parts of The Visit that are happening outside of the recording of the kids.
If there are, it's very, very, very little. But either way, anyways, it doesn't make the cut anyways, because it wasn't his first movie. So,
yeah, get wrecked.
So, one director I looked into was William Brent Bell, who, one of his first movies, the first movie at least that I recognized, was The Devil Inside, which was that horror movie about possession, imagine that, by the title.
oh, really?
That, interesting. Had a very controversial ending. It was. It had a very controversial ending because it just kind of just ends abruptly and then tells you to go to a website to get the rest of the story, and it was just like the dumbest thing ever. Cool. And everybody hated it.
Why?
Because it felt cheap. Like, I spent a movie ticket to see a movie go to its conclusion.
Oh, was it like a big old, like, AMC?
I mean, it wasn't big, but it had a theatrical release, yeah. So his second movie was another found footage one called Where. W-E-R, and it was like this guy that was sort of a werewolf, but it was like set in kind of this realism, so he like suffers from that disease that makes your hair grow long, and he's unnaturally large, like he has gigantism kind of a thing going on, and so it was like he was just a werewolf human being, kind of. It was really interesting. I actually thought it was a pretty cool movie. The concept better than the execution, but still. Then he did The Boy, which I believe you have feelings on that, don't you?
Yeah. I liked it. I thought it was pretty freaky. Like, one of my greater fears is that there's always somebody living in my walls. And that had a lot of
it does. which is why I'm curious to how they're going to be able to do a sequel to that, because you've kind of got the spoiler already ruined by watching the first one.
Yeah, right? But, like, maybe it's something else.
I don't know. So, okay, so we'll move on from him. So then the next one that I saw was The Last Exorcism by Daniel Stamm. And he...
The Last Exorcism is a great movie, by the way, if you haven't seen it. It's really one of the, like, better found footage movies, and it's a good exorcism romp, I think, anyway.
And he's done mostly TV since. In fact, that's all he's done since, except for the movie 13 Sins, which is kind of... Like, there's almost, like, a little subgenre of these movies, because so many of them have come out recently, but, like, it's one of those ones with, like, the escalating pranks. So, like, the guy gets paid to do stuff, and the price gets higher as he goes. The rewards get higher, but the things that he has to do get worse.
I'm thinking, like, The Brass Teapot and Risk and, like, those movies. Like, the ones where people, like, they're like, oh, so now you don't want any more money, so we'll have to, like, you know, manipulate you somehow. Was that one with Elijah Wood and the porn star? Cam. You know what I'm talking about?
I do... It was something like that. Yeah, but that one's another example.
Window.
Yeah.
No.
Windows?
Is it Windows? Oh, yeah, okay. Windows.
Windows. Another director. Now, this one I thought was pretty stinking cool. Like, this guy's done some really good stuff. So, John Eric Dowdle, who I'd really never heard of before, but I've seen almost all of his movies. He did Quarantine, which was that remake of Wreck.
Oh, I love that movie.
And The Poughkeepsie Tapes, which is another classic.
Oh,
for
my
people.
God.
Then...
That movie freaked me
when
the
he
hell
did
out.
His first cinematic outing in traditional style, he did Devil, which I thought was awesome.
Which is the Shyamalan movie?
Yes, in the elevator, yeah. And then he did As Above, So Below, so he went back to found footage.
What?
And then...
This dude is on fire from the found footage stuff anyway.
So then he goes... Now, this is crazy to me. So now, this movie's not necessarily that great, but I actually did watch it with some people one time, and it wasn't that bad. It's pretty good. It's called No Escape, and it's with Owen Wilson, and he's, like, stuck in a country that starts going through a military coup.
I wanted to see that, actually.
And it wasn't a bad movie. It's got some really intense moments, and I thought it was pretty good. But it's just crazy how he jumped from Poughkeepsie Tapes to No Escape, which is more like a adventure thriller action movie, and succeeded. Yeah. Like, I thought he did a good job. So, Like, that was a big one. I have one other director. Excuse me. Eduardo Sanchez. Who is most famous for The Blair Witch Project, of all things. Okay. He did.
Of all... Did he do the second one?
He was not a part of the second one, from what I can tell. He kind of... He's done a couple of other found footage. He's done Exists, which was that Sasquatch one. But he also did three between those two movies. He did Altered, which I have not seen, but I want to. Because I've heard it's got some pretty good practical effects work in it. Lovely Molly, which is praised by a lot of people. I didn't particularly like it. I didn't understand the appeal. He also did Seventh Moon, which I really liked, and most people have not seen that.
I've never heard of any of those movies.
Altered is some kind of thing where... Have you seen Dreamcatcher?
No, that didn't mean you needed...
No, I know, but, like, have you seen Dreamcatcher? Like,
I don't know if those are, like, mainstream movies.
They're not, but, like, have you seen Dreamcatcher?
Okay.
It sounds like a very similar plot to that. Like, an alien gives them these weird abilities. And Lovely Molly, I think it was some kind of possession movie, but it was...
No. You don't have to explain them to me. I think we should move on. But that's cool that guy made those. It's okay. It's okay, folks. If you want to look those up, go for it. But we have to move on, because we've been talking about this for 10 minutes.
But anyways, I just thought it was cool.
Yeah, me too. Like, I mean, it's interesting to see a lot of those people move forward and, like, kind of do stuff that either is A, not found footage, or B, just completely wonky and outside of the, like, genre that they're normally in.
So anyways, I think there's a good chance of success there for Corporate Animals.
For Corporate Animals because of the creep stuff?
Because, like, their found footage isn't necessarily a means for that's all they can do, that they're a one-trick pony.
Yeah, and especially since Creep was such a good movie anyway, and the Creep movies were, like, pretty good anyway, right? At least the director has, like, a concept for how to make a good film, seemingly.
Yeah.
Maybe? We'll see. So let's talk about some movies that we're kind of excited for that don't have trailers yet. The first one is for a movie called Stowaway.
Yes, and...
Which I could find little on.
There isn't a lot out on it yet, because I don't think it's really started filming yet, but it's got Anna Kendrick, Toni Collette, and Daniel Dae Kim from the recent Hellboy movie in it, and it's just a... I'll just read the synopsis. The story revolves around a mission headed to Mars, where an unintended stowaway accidentally causes severe damage to the spaceship's life support systems. Facing dwindling resources and a potentially grim outcome, a medical researcher emerges as the only dissenting voice against the clinical logic of both her commander and the ship's biologist. So...
It sounds kind of like Life without the... Like... I guess it's not Life. It just kind of sounds like another one of those, like, space... We're kind of going to get messed up movies.
Yeah, but it definitely sounds more like kind of reality-based to me, which could be good, but it also could not. Because, I mean, like, how many times do I have to see Gravity meets that Matt Damon movie where he goes to Mars?
The
Martian. That one.
It kind of sounds like, yeah. I mean, it's like a bottle episode of a show. Turned into a two-hour movie. Is it could be good, though, but, like, I mean, I feel like movies like that need something almost supernatural or, like, science fiction-y to be, like, kind of to deliver, right? I don't know, it sounds like it should be a short if it wasn't a supernatural force. It's kind of, like, how I feel about it. Because, like, even, like, a movie that you really want to compare this to, though, is Sunshine, right?
It's just what I hope it could be, because I love that movie.
Yeah, and Sunshine has, like, some vaguely supernatural or, like, super sci-fi things happening in it where you're like, what is this guy doing? And, like, he's, like, been blessed by the sun or whatever, you know? Or something like that, where you kind of get that vibe of, like, either extreme insanity, kind of like Event Horizon, or, like, legit granted a power from aliens, you know?
It's got some weird stuff to it, and I like it.
Yeah, and so, like, it'd be cool if they did that.
And I think it has one of the best twists in a movie ever.
Sunshine. Or Stowaway?
Because
I was like, how do you know the twist?
Well, no, just because it just comes out of nowhere. You're just watching this movie, and then all of a sudden, it turns into a horror movie on a dime.
Fair enough. All right, so a movie I'm really excited for, I'm kind of interested in, let's say that, is The Collected, which is the third Collector
movie. And it's got
movie.
A 3 in there. It's got a 3 in the title.
Yeah, it does. So you remember. The Collector was kind of interesting for me because a lot of times I was thinking about that being an interesting premise where someone's like a thief and they get caught up in some type of like serial killer madness and you don't know who to root for and there's like a lot of dynamic character interactions that are all forced together that normally aren't, right? And so The Collector, while being a kind of hyper-violent movie, was interesting to me. And The Collection, which is the second one, turned into more of like a crazy hostile Saw insanity thing. And it was really, really crazy. And, I don't know, it was like Home Alone meets Saw 4. Because you're like, go to the guy's collection, and they're like trying to get some girl out or something. And nobody knows it as well as the guy who survived the first movie. Spoilers. And they bring him in, and he doesn't want to come in. And it's just kind of like, why would you know? You say no. You say no. You 100% say no. You don't come in there. You don't go to the belly.
I already know what the fourth one's going to be. It's going to be called The Collective. And it's going to be like his own cult that follows him around and does the things that he does.
That'd be really cool, actually.
Boom. I just made $50,000 on that.
But it seems like it could be. I don't know. I wonder what they're gonna do. I guess is why I wanted to talk about it. I wonder what they're gonna do. Because The Collection was kind of like a, like the next step, but I don't know what the next.
It's true. It's just like we remember when we were in that house with all these traps. What if we did that to a lot of people?
What if it was in a mall instead
Everywhere.
Of a house? But that was a warehouse. Well, it's
look,
more.
Look, all the death.
What if it's in Russia? Like the fifth Die Hard. But speaking of action movies, let's talk about some trailers that we kind of were watching and made us excited. Terminator Dark Fate is a trailer that
we probably shouldn't have started with one where you just said that we were excited for.
Oh, you're not excited for Terminator Dark Fate in terms of just watching his trashy action movie?
Not even that. Not even for that purpose.
Trash can movie?
What?
Okay. Well, it kind of looks like something that I might pay to go see explosions for.
I disliked Terminator 3 so much. And it just looks a lot like that one. I just thought that the concept, because like you took this huge leap in advanced technology from number 1 to number 2, where it's like it's just this cyborg robot, and then it's just like, no, this guy's made of freaking artificial intelligent liquid metal. And then in the third one, they're just like, what if we just combine the two? And it's really poor creativity.
Yeah, I don't really get the like intensity of this guy being like part T-1000, part Terminator, right? I mean, it sounds like you could probably just like, I don't know, deal with him less easy than before, but if you blow him up, he'll still probably blow up.
Yeah, it's pretty poor, in my opinion, creativity-wise. Like you did.
Anyway, we'll leave the thought that Sickle likes Terminator Salvation, and you guys can deal with that.
Oh, crap. I don't even get a chance to defend myself.
And moving on to The Nightingale trailer. The Nightingale is the next movie from the director of The Babadook.
It looks
pretty interesting. It kind of looks like, to me, like I Spit on Your Grave meets The Revenant.
It's interesting.
Without a bear.
Without a bear. No bear. Just no Tasmanian devils. I'm pretty sure.
Is that where
it's
they are?
Tasmania or New Zealand? Somewhere. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, it's about a girl who's wronged somehow, but they don't really explain that well in the trailer that I could tell. And then she starts getting revenge.
Yeah, she hires an aboriginal guide, or just talks him into it, to help her. And so it's kind of this, like, revenge against the white man, you know.
Quintuacha.
But it does look... It looks like it's going to be pretty brutal, pretty realistic, gritty style. Period piece thing. Looks good.
Yeah. Just to touch on something real quick, I don't want to talk about too long, but I just watched The Burrowers, which is a good period piece as well. It's kind of what I wanted The Wind to be. And The Burrowers is good, and you should check it out on Amazon Prime right now.
Yeah, it's a great period piece, with the exception of the giant locust monsters.
Yeah, I mean, those could have been there, where nobody really knows how history works. We'll talk about The Ranger a little bit. So, Sickle watched a movie called
The
Ranger.
Yeah, you can check it out on Shudder. There's not a whole lot to say about it. We wrote a review for it this past week, so you can check that out. But
you don't have to pull me into that.
It's your pretty standard fare slasher, kind of lower budget end of things. But it's pretty fun. It keeps it at the right self-awareness. And the villain, I think he's campy as heck, but he's a lot of fun because he just replays laws of taking care of the mountain and what laws these kids are breaking as he's killing them, and it's pretty funny. It's awesome.
He's like, "You always put out your fires," and he puts a
littering is against code 1.4 of the new treaty of the Thought, and then he kills him, and it's awesome.
Does he kill him with litter?
No, he's not very creative.
No. Aww,
he's very creative with his dialogue, though. That's his thing.
Yeah. Just gimmick. That kind of sounds interesting. I might watch
fun.
That. I might have
it
to check
fun.
It out. Yeah. Oh, look at that. The guy looks really intimidating on the poster, too. He looks kind of like the dude from Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio, I think. D'Onofrio? I forget his last name. I say it wrong.
The main guy. Like, the
corporal. Oh, the drill
guy.
Sergeant?
Yeah,
oh,
the
I forget
sergeant,
his name.
Dude. Alright. So, I'm going to talk for the next few minutes about three movies that I watched and kind of spoil them. So, if you don't want spoilers on Braid, Slaughterhouse Rules, and All Hallows Eve, it was nice. Thanks for listening. See you next time. But I'm going to spoil the crap out of these movies.
No, let's do this.
Sickle, are you okay with this? Do you need to leave? Okay. So, Braid, I was looking for something to do before the podcast today, and I had just finished watching All Hallows Eve, and I was like, what other movie? Because I've been on this Amazon Prime kick lately, because Amazon Prime has a bunch of, basically, if you just cycle through different streaming services every, few months, you get a kind of nice mix of movies, right? So, I'm on the Amazon Prime train right now. There's a bunch of good movies there, so if you, haven't watched Amazon Prime in a while, go check it out. But Braid was a movie that, the premise was kind of interesting, and it's about these two friends who, they basically want to rob their mentally
disturbed?
Handicapped, is the right word, mentally, she's got, some mental issues, mentally disturbed friend. And basically what happened was when they were kids, they accidentally pushed her out of a treehouse, and she, lost the ability to have children, so she became kind of insane, because she was, became insane with child lust. And they used to play all these, play games where they'd play doctor, and they'd play, cops and robbers and stuff like that. And the whole thing is if you go there, they're worried, if they go there, they know they have to play the game with her, because those are the rules of the game, and she's gone insane, right? And they manage to escape or something. I'm not really sure if that's implied or not, but they go back there, and then it's this really psychedelic kind of movie, because they end up accidentally taking some drugs at one point, and then she ends up maiming them, I guess is the best way to say it. And then all of a sudden they're all healed again, and honestly, it was kind of hard to follow. I feel like it's one of those movies that you really have to pay attention to, and I just don't, because I'm too simple-minded to follow that stuff. I think people would like it, but I don't know that I really liked it, because I didn't really get it. I didn't know what I was supposed to be, not missing or missing. There's a lot of times when I watch a movie and I feel like I'm missing something, and a lot of times it's true. And this is one of the movies there I was like, I'm definitely missing something.
Reality bending moments in movies are hard to execute properly. I feel like Jacob's Ladder might be an example of one that's done pretty well for the most part.
And I've never watched that one because I've always been scared to, because I've heard that it's very hallucinogenic and
it's got some messed up scenes in it. Yeah, but there's other ones that I feel like a lot of drug induced sequences in movies are weird and poorly done. They feel like a waste of time to me. a lot of times. So
now I will say that the scenes that do have drugs and stuff in them were kind of cool. Like they were well done enough that like they looked really cool, but the story is what I couldn't connect together. Like, and I know that there's something there, and it was kind of cool, and the fact that they were like in the house was keeping them from getting hurt somehow and playing the game, and I don't know. I think that you should watch it, Sickle, and you should let me know how you feel about it.
All right. Yeah, I was thinking about giving it a shot, so I thought it was cool that you saw it already. Although you didn't really help me decide on what to think of it. So I'll have to find out for myself.
I don't know that I'm not the right person to ask if that movie's good or not. You know, like, I know my bounds. Like, I know my boundaries as far as, like, being a good critic. And I'm not going to, like, rightfully just hate something because I don't understand it. Except for It Follows. I will always hate that movie. Other movies I'm not going to put in that category.
It's about sex, man.
So,
it's about
I don't know.
Sex.
It's topical. I get it. Cool. Yeah, I got it. So the next movie that I saw the other day was called Slaughterhouse Rules. It's a Nick Frost, Simon Pegg joint. I don't
Ooh,
know.
Joint. I like that. I like that you just dropped that you stole
else.
Spike Lee's thing.
It's Crispin Mills, and I don't actually know what he's directed. I'll look at it real quick. But basically, this is a movie about these kids who go. This kid who goes to a like. A private school in the UK, and it's like got all of the kind of trappings of a private school. There's different houses, you know, they're like the school has its own like military service force, and there's all this stuff you learn about the UK schooling from that movie. But so it starts off as this kind of like really crazy school piece where like there's all this bullying, there's these people trying to like survive day to day, and then it turns into this weird kind of like monster movie at the end, and everybody has to kind of like work together to survive. And I actually thought it was pretty cool. I think I'm a little bit biased though, because I really like most things with Simon Pegg in them, and most of the movies that they take part in are done by people who they trust to do good. Yeah, so I definitely say see Slaughterhouse Rules, especially since it just came out for viewing in the U.S. recently. So go check it out. It's pretty good. I don't want to spoil too much of it, though, because it's actually kind of cool how they go through it, I think.
Yeah.
Kind of dark, though, at some point, so be ready for, like, some talk of suicide and people trying to kill themselves and stuff. Trigger warning.
Well, now I want to kill myself. I can't.
The last movie... The last movie that I saw that I'll probably try to not go over on is All Hallows Eve. So somewhere along the line I heard that Art the Clown's first appearance wasn't in the Terrifier short. It was in this movie called All Hallows Eve. And that movie came out at a time, and I don't know when when it came out relative to the other movies, but the short is actually in this All Hallows Eve.
Isn't that crazy
movie.
Just really quick? Isn't that crazy that those because we sort of met the directors because they came to Telluride horror show that one year.
Yeah.
And I don't remember them mentioning that.
Yeah, neither do I. And that's why I'm wondering if they put it in after the fact. That's what I'm kind of trying to figure out, like, when All Hallows Eve came out, you know? And trying to figure out, like, when they did it, you know? Because, like, the guy... So All Hallows Eve was done in 2013. And then the short for Terrifier, like, was put out as a short by itself in 2011, I think, ish. And then 2016 is when Terrifier, like, debuted. So, there's that.
Yeah.
Right? If you care at all about it, anybody. And, basically... Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, so 2013... 2011 is Terrifier, 2013 is All Hallows Eve, 2016 is Terrifier, the movie. And then Terrifier 2 is coming out eventually. But basically, it's a pretty cool movie. It's like VHS or what's that other Halloween like short movie that's on Netflix that I can never remember the name of.
Halloween short movie.
Oh, Trick or Treat, I think is.
Oh, the anthology.
It's kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like an anthology film, and so I don't know. I thought it was pretty okay. It's pretty cheesy though, so it's kind of you kind of have to watch it with the mind that you know they were on a budget and. They're trying to make the best thing that they could with what they had. I think they did a pretty good job based off of that, but if you watch it trying to see like a, you know, like a VHS or something like that, you're not going to be as impressed. But it was kind of entertaining, and it made me not as scared to watch Terrifier again at some point.
Until you watch it, and then you're traumatized again.
Yeah, right. I forgot at the end of Terrifier the Short, like, what he does to that girl. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's pretty brutal, too. And I got through that 4 times, so I don't watch Terrifier again. But, all right, that's all I have to talk about. Did you want to talk about anything else?
I don't know. We wanted to try that segment again, or take a stab at another segment. I'm trying to come up with segments for us to do, and I'm organically trying to come across one that's going to stick. And this one is not going to be one that sticks, but I'm going to do it anyways. It was, it's called I'm a pretentious horror fan, and I'm going to call out losers that post, "Have you seen this horror movie on Reddit?" Oh, where's my music? There. And
apparently, I started this, though, because I made a comment to Sickle about, I'm getting sick and tired of these people who just ask if we've seen movies that have been out for, like, 4 years.
Yes.
You know? And I didn't really remember that I said that. I think I might have just said that in some kind of demonic haze, but I do recall that being something I might have said. I may or may not have inclined that way at one point.
Yeah, and it's a flaw. It's a flaw as, you know, pretentious horror fans of, like, yeah, of course we've seen that already. It's kind of just one of those little annoying pet peeves of, you know, being on Reddit and being a huge fan of something, that you see somebody go, well, I just found this diamond in the rough, this gem that nobody's ever heard of. And it's like, no, everybody watched that 10 years ago when it came out, man. And this one is Splinter. And that movie was one where when the trailer came out for it, when the synopsis came out for it, I was like, I have to see this movie. It looks so freaking awesome because I love monster movies, I love creature features, and this one sounded really original. And then you watch it, and it totally is. For those that don't know, which is fine, there's nothing wrong with that.
It's not the idea that you're calling out a movie that you think is good. It's that you're trying to find a movie, like, and then say that you found it, and you're like, oh, I found this movie, Splinter, and no one's ever heard of it before. And you're like, no, just your 4 friends who you talk to haven't heard of it. But just don't try to get recognition on the internet for a movie that came out more than a year ago. Like, you're gonna probably not be seen as someone who's...
You're gonna have a bad time.
Yeah, you're gonna have a bad time. If you pizza when you're French fry, you're gonna have a bad time.
But just a quick breakdown for it, in case you're interested, and you haven't seen it. It's about a few people that get stuck in a gas station with this, like, fungus that, like, takes over your body. If you're familiar with that ant fungus that takes over the brain of an ant and, like, makes them run around like a zombie, kind of like that, except the it's human corpses instead of, like, bodies. So it, like, twists and, like, disfigures the bodies because it just moves mindlessly towards blood. Like, it's cool. I don't know. It's an awesome movie.
Yeah, you should watch it. Like, Sickle's explanation is good, but it's also cooler when you, like, you watch it, because the way that it does the stuff and the practical effects are, yeah, it's really cool.
Yep, it's better than I can
explain. And the discovery of what's happening for yourself is also a good part of that journey.
Definitely.
Sorry.
Agreed.
That's it. See Splinter. Yeah, we're not trying to be douches, we're just trying to say, like, don't try to get recognition for something like that. I mean, if you're trying to get recognition on the internet, you probably should, like, just not. As we finish our podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Let us know how you feel. Like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.